Okay, and so I don't think I'm muted. This is Karen Bright. Okay, so then if then I'm going to call this meeting to order at, where is the time, at 6:52. And so, David, if you would please do roll call.
Sure thing. All right. Let's see, we have Member Kristen.
I'm here.
All right. Member Karen.
What was that?
Member Karen.
Oh, that, okay, Bright here.
Yep, Bright. Let's see. Member Scott Newton. Member Shirley Gibson.
Here.
Member Brad Hageman.
Here.
Member Brian Talley.
Here.
And then I have, is Member Ron Riley?
Yep. Here.
And let's see. Am I missing anybody? That's all seven.
Okay.
Except for Scott Newton. We're absent Scott.
Okay. Very good. So we have a quorum. Thank you very much. So now we'll go to public comment. If we have any public, if they haven't given up on us. Do we have any public comment regarding any items that are not on the agenda?
Okay, take that as a no.
Okay. So then we'll move on to item three, the approval of the minutes. Does anyone have any additions, changes, any comments regarding the meeting minutes of January 21st, 2021?
This is Council Member Barnett, or Board Member Barnett, sorry, and I approve the minutes.
May I have a second?
I'll second that. This is Brian Talley.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. I don't know if we need a roll call on this or just a, I can't remember if we need a roll call or just a, all in favor? I can't remember.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. Now we'll move on to item four, the operations report. We have first is a verbal update. I'm not quite sure who's going to present that.
You know, I had Jenny Williamson was on the line. I don't see her. Oh, yeah, she's here. She's going to give the update on the operations.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm quiet lurker. So as of today, the lake elevation is at 479.54. Storage is at 19,475 acre feet. Capacity is currently at 39%. Rainfall to date is 11.27 inches. Plant production is at 3.59 MGD. State water is currently at 0.79 MGD. And downstream release is at 1.86 MGD. If anybody has any questions on those numbers, let me know.
Any Jenny, questions?
Jenny, this is Brad. What was the downstream release?
Downstream release is at 1.86 MGD.
1.86, great. Thank you.
Any others? No? Okay, thank you. So then we'll move on to the, where are we now? Projected reservoir levels, or have we done all of that?
Yeah, here's our, if you guys can see my screen, I brought up the Lopez Reservoir storage projection that's in your agenda.
Okay.
So So as you guys can see, we're just sitting hovering right there below the 20,000 acre feet. And with our current projections and rainfall, predicted rainfall, it looks like we're going to, you know, start a pretty steady decline there moving forward. Hmm. Anybody have any questions on the actual storage projection chart? All right. Nope. Next thing with the January, February monthly operations reports for you guys' deliveries. Did anybody have any questions on these?
Doesn't look like it. No questions, yeah. I guess. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, then I guess we'll move on now to item five, information items. So we'll start with the second quarter budget status for fiscal year 2021.
Hi, this is Sherry. Sherry White, and I can make a few comments on the graphs. If David, if you want to go to down to the first graph, which is routine O&M.
Yep.
I mean, overall, at the after the second quarter, the total expenses were 34% of the total annual budget. And routine O&M, shown here on the first graph, is 47% of the budget. So that's pretty close, leaving $2.2 million available for the rest of the year. I wanted to note that the treatment plant chemical and energy expenses are at 60 and 64%. And next year's budgeted amounts are, we're hopefully trying to align more closely to the actual cost in this area. And the second graph, non-routine O&M expenses, at the end of the second quarter, we're at 7% of total budget, leaving $1.5 million available for the rest of the year. And just over half of that is for the two larger projects, HCP and cathodic protection.
No.
And the replacement of two HAC, I don't know if you say it HAC, turbidometers.
It's a HAC.
HAC, okay. is complete. And then the last capital outlay graph.
Yep.
Expenses were 13% of the budget, leaving $500,000 available for the remainder of the year. And purchases of three pieces of equipment are complete, a mini excavator, a dump trailer, and an ATV. Any questions or comments?
Does anyone have any questions regarding this item? If you don't, I do have a question.
Okay.
And it's regarding, regarding on page 11, the routine O&M, you'd mentioned a couple of those categories, the chemicals and the water quality testing and the electricity. They were all over 50% in the second quarter. Is that normal? Or is there a concern for the remainder of the year?
You know, I didn't look back, but I have a suspicion it's normal, just the volatility of energy costs. Because when the proposed budget was prepared this year, we, those two line items, not the testing, that's budgeted on actual test, and that should come out pretty even at year end, but
it's pretty close.
But for chemical chemicals and the energy costs, I think it's, they've been running a little over what we're budgeting, and I think so they're increased those two line items in the proposed budget to try to make them come out a little closer to budget.
I see.
I think it's just the nature of, you know, I don't think it's when they're buying the chemicals. I don't know, maybe Jenny would know if they recently purchased more chemicals at the end of the year.
Contracts are usually bid, and they're usually 3-year contracts. And I can't remember. I know that we rebid them this last year. So the rates might have gone up a little bit from the previous year.
Maybe that's why we're you know, the budget will catch up then next fiscal year. And then the energy costs, I don't know specifics, but I've heard that some of the utilities were changing their peak hours, but I'm not sure. Operations, I think, would have to answer that.
Yeah, I know that there was a time of use change with PG&E. I don't know when that took effect. I could also probably point chemical costs and electricity usage to the longer, we've had some pretty decent warmer weather this winter, and I bet if we went back and compared it to other warm winter months, the downstream agencies, you know, are typically probably pumping less groundwater and using more, you know, of their Lopez water if we're not getting the rainfall that we normally do. So I could see that kind of adding to the electricity and chemical treatment costs.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Can I ask real quick, do we know, are any or all of these operations switching to 3CE as the energy provider? And do we expect to see any savings from that?
That, you know, I'm not familiar with the 3CE, what that is. I can definitely look into it and find out.
Yeah, so here in the South County, the I think they're just called Central Coast Energy, I don't know, 3CE, we'll call them that. They are actually responsible for, I believe, generating the power, and PG&E is just conveying it. So if we didn't opt out, my thought is that we are in it, and it's supposed to, over time, switch to basically green energy, I think by 2030, 100%. But in any case, I think we're supposed to be seeing something on the order of 2 or 3% cost savings at this point in time if we are switched over.
Okay. Yeah, let me look. I'll look into that. I'll find out if we're in that, you know, in it or not.
Ron, this is Brad. It's my understanding that if the cities had a choice to opt in, and the county in the unincorporated areas either had to opt in or opt out, and so in the case of the treatment plant being in the unincorporated area, they're either in or out based on what the county decided to do. I got another client down in Mission Hills CSD, and they were no, CSDs actually can be separate. So I'm not sure how it would apply to the Lopez. Yeah, that's a good point. So my understanding was you were in unless you opted out.
Okay. Yeah, I'll reach out to our energy group and find out.
Yeah, I'd like to know. That'll be very interesting because I know that the Board of Supervisors did not approve it.
Okay.
But so I'd like to, it'll be interesting to hear.
Okay. Did the cities, City of Pismo, opt in or out? Or opt out, I mean?
I don't know what Pismo did, tell you the truth.
Because I thought it was kind of a city by city sort of a thing. I know up in North County, Atascadero did not get in, and I'm not sure about Paso. Or if Atascadero opted out.
Yes, I don't know.
Rio Grande are in. I don't know beyond that. So
yeah,
don't either. Morro Bay did, I know, but I'm not sure about Pismo. But I do know that the the County Board of Supervisors
did not
approve it for the county, so the unincorporated parts of the county or not. Right. Okay. At least that's the last I heard. So, but I don't know about special agencies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess that applied all the way through.
All right. Well, we're not actually advising about water at the moment, so I guess. Right.
So that'll be interesting to hear. So, David, that was you who said you were going to find out?
Yes.
Okay. Swell. Thank you. All right, then, if there are any more questions on this item, are we ready to move forward? Yes? Okay. So then I've lost my agenda here. Okay. So we'll move on to B, the cloud seeding update, and that's attachment 5.
Yep. So this was the report prepared by North American Weather Consultants, which they were trying to quantify the 2020 water year's increase from the cloud seeding program. So this is what they put together. They estimated that we got somewhere around, the 500 acre feet increase, and so that equated to about a $353 per acre foot cost to get that. So unfortunately for us, we didn't see a whole lot of rainfall, in the 2020 water year, and we seeded as much as we could with the storms that suited seeding. So if you guys have any questions specifically to the cloud seeding program, I can hopefully try to speak to it, but.
Are there any questions regarding the cloud seeding program? No, none? I guess I should be asking for public comment on this as well. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Is there any public comment regarding this item, or my goodness, any that we have discussed in the past?
And I will say for the public comments portion, it's worth noting that on the Zone 3's webpage, on the county's webpage, all the cloud seeding information is uploaded to that. This report's there. There's a lot of good information about the cloud seeding program. So if a member of the public wanted to view the documents, it's all uploaded to our webpage. So.
Well, thank you for that. And I guess I'm going to assume that there is no public comment since we're not hearing any. Are you able to see a hand raised or anything like that?
Let's see. I can see who all are on, and it does not look like there is any members of the public attending the meeting right now.
Okay. Thank you. All right, then. So I guess we'll move along to the contract changes update, and that is a verbal update.
Yep. So Dan Heimel with WSC, he was supposed to be on and providing the update. He actually is out for medical reasons. So I actually did get a chance to speak with him prior to our meeting. His doctor has advised him not to do any work really. So I appreciated his very short and brief update. At this point, we have a admin draft environmental document that's being reviewed. Our county environmental has prepared that document and has shared it with WSC, and we're currently reviewing it and commenting on it. It is not open to the public yet or at a point to actually put out for anybody else's review except for internal staff at the moment. And then the only other update with that was he said that they are working on the procedural portions of the contract changes. And what he said that meant was they're kind of running through scenarios. So with some of the TAC members and WSC and the county, they're trying to just, do the what if game. So they're saying, what if I want to store this, or what if I want to store that, or how's surplus going to work? And so they're kind of developing these scenarios and kind of running them through to see that everything's going to work the way they intended to work.
Okay. Any questions at all regarding that issue from any of the members?
This is Kristen. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So it's in draft form. The county's reviewing it. The county's working on it with the TAC members. So what is the timeline for the next couple steps, do we think?
So Dan did mention that as far as the projects, the timing of he said that he thought that a project schedule had gone out at one of these meetings before. If not this, then maybe the TAC, and I can get that for you guys. He said, as of right now, we're still on schedule and that we would likely see something that we could put out for review around May.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
That was my question as well.
So if you guys don't think you've seen a project schedule, I can get that and, you know, get it, you know, forwarded to you guys if you'd like.
I appreciate that. My question is in relation to low reservoir response plan. I understand we're waiting for this agreement to be in place before anyone even really wants to talk about that. And that also the last time around, we had the county supervisors basically state we were in a drought condition before we would trigger it. Are we going to really wait another 2 months and hope that we have a contract in place before we'll even talk about that?
So this was brought up at the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee. I am currently looking into what it would take to enact the LRP. There's a CEQA issue with it, and that comes down to if the state doesn't declare a drought emergency, the Board of Supervisors would then have to declare probably a local emergency. And then the CEQA issue that comes into play is that it's how do we argue an environmental exemption, you know, if the state isn't actually declaring a drought emergency. So there's some, I've been talking to our environmental group about that. They think that we would still be able to push it through. It just probably won't look good that we haven't done this full, environmental review of the LRP. So.
Okay, thank you.
So with that, we are looking into how to go about enacting it, since we are likely looking at, you know, we're in drought conditions. So, and we might, before the contract changes, actually finally gets approved and actually in place, it might be the end of this year. So, you know, we don't want to be rolling into the next, you know, next year and not, you know, trying to conserve water. So.
Well, this is Brian, and I just, you know, Ron, I'm glad you brought up that issue because I'm wondering the same thing. I mean, you know, there are strategies that we implemented last time we were faced with this that, you know, were very effective, like, you know, switching to more state water and reducing our downstream releases. And, you know, looking at that graph, you know, just a few minutes ago, I mean, that's a scary prospect for us. So I hope that we can move forward with some kind of action that keeps as much water behind the dam as possible.
Yeah, fortunately for the Zone 3 project, we had a lot of, with the levee raising project down in AG Creek and things, we fortunately this last water year for up till now, we've been meeting very low releases going for downstream releases, you know, with what Jenny said, we're at the minimum that we can release right now. So environmental releases have been really low so far this year. So.
This is Kristen Barnich. I have a question about the state declaration. So is there any communication with the state? So are they, I don't really remember what we did last time, but I guess the state declared a drought last time, and so then the county declared a drought after that, and then we hit the 20,000. So then we entered the LRRP. But is there any communication with the state finding out if they're going to declare that? And if not, is it because everywhere else has, or not everywhere else, but maybe overall the state isn't as dry as possibly the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo County is?
So that's something I'm looking into. I'm trying to find out if anybody within the county is speaking with the state to determine if there is a drought emergency coming. On the state's drought webpage, they do say that the status of California and Nevada are in moderate to exceptional drought throughout the state. And so I could likely see that a drought emergency would be coming down, but I don't know that for sure. So I'm still looking into it, and the TAC was wanting me to look into it as well.
Okay, so I guess that's fine if the TAC is kind of on it. I just feel a little bit more responsible and don't want to wait like 2 months for our next meeting to kind of find out what we're all kind of doing here, because a lot can happen in 2 months. We can use a lot of water. So I'm glad the TAC is looking into it. I'm wondering if maybe you could let the members know what you find out from the state level, and yep, then sort of keep us in the loop, because I'd like to be able to report to my council what the progress is, definitely before our next meeting.
Okay,
thank you.
Follow-up question, is it possible for us to call a special meeting if we do have information in a month that we need to act on?
I'm not familiar enough with the process. Does anybody else? I believe we can call special meetings as long as they're, you know, put out in the Brown Act, as long as they're posted correctly. So I believe that's true.
Yes, and we have before. I think I only remember one, but I'm sure there have been others. So as long as it's properly noticed, it can be done.
So we actually just had one about 3 months or so ago, I think. But yeah, we've had several over the years.
Okay. So, and it was, we discussed it at the TAC about the LRP and being below the 20,000 acre foot mark. And if you go back and look at the trigger points of the LRP at 20,000 and below, we, the main thing that happens is we start reducing downstream releases, which we're currently doing. We're already at the bare minimum. The thing that we're not currently doing out, because we're not in the LRP, is you guys got storage rights to start storing water. So that obviously would be a benefit of going into the LRP. And that's going to be kind of a segue going into item D on here, is the TAC. They all were in favor of bringing it up at this meeting about doing voluntary reductions, since we are not in the LRP yet. I know Arroyo Grande, Shane spoke about that they are already getting ready to start posting conservation flyers and things throughout the, you know, through the city. So.
Okay. Any other questions on this item before we continue on to item D? Okay, seeing none, then let's move on to voluntary reductions. And this is a verbal update.
Yeah, so this goes back to what we're talking about already. So so the TAC just wanted me to bring it to this this forum about asking that everybody, you know, think about doing voluntary reductions at this point. So since we are not within the LRP, there's no framework for what those reductions look like. So
are you talking about conservation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is Brad. I got thinking about the TAC conversation, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, we do have at least the guidance of the LRP that we can go by in terms of 10% reduction for municipal and those kinds of things. So there are some metrics. I guess it's just not formally in effect, but doesn't stop, I don't think, the communities or the water purveyors from encouraging and moving in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're correct. And it's, and it's, from my understanding, though, it's the 15,000 acre foot mark is the next trigger point that actually enacts those 10% reductions across the board.
Formally, yeah.
Yeah, formally, correct.
Oh, so, go ahead, Brian.
I can't remember, you know, last time we went through this, were there any like surcharges or, you know, rate increases or anything like that that were, you know, implemented by the agencies to try to drive conservation?
Well, yes. I mean, the city of AG did do that. I can't remember exactly when it was, but eventually we resorted to fines, if you will, to try to curb some of the sort of people that were just overusing above what was more than average, and yes, so the answer for Roy Grundy is yes.
Yes, and Grover Beach did too. It was a last resort type of a thing, but we did as well.
I think AG made everybody go to water school that Shane taught, so that straightened them up right away.
Exactly. So I have a question about, so the TAC wanted county to bring the idea of voluntary reductions to zone 3 to just get our 2 cents, in other words?
Yeah, I think just really to kind of put the bug in everyone's ear that, you know, if we can start trying to conserve water before we hit that 15,000 acre foot limit, then let's try to do that.
Okay. All righty then. Any other questions or comments on this item before we continue on? Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on to the capital projects update, the bi-monthly update, which would be attachment 6.
All right, so right now with the Zone 3 projects, top of the list right now is the Tesla battery storage. We're working with Tesla to install some batteries at the water treatment plant. We're going to use that for, it's through the, if you guys are familiar with it, it's the SGIP program. It's a free program, and it will be used to shave the peaks from our electricity demand so we don't get those high peak charges. So we're working with them. We've seen the 50% plan so far. Everything looks like it's going to work pretty well for us. And kind of a side benefit of the batteries, we'll have a we won't have to turn the backup generator on in the event that a power outage goes, the grid goes down. We'll actually can run off the batteries for a little bit. We don't know how long, it just will depend on how much charge is in the battery at the point that the grid goes down. So through the program, we get the batteries for free, and after 5 years, we can operate them any way we want. But until that 5-year mark, we have to operate them the way the SGIP program requires us to. So it still is peak shaving, but the batteries have to, there's a cycling of the battery, so we have to fully charge and discharge the battery 120 times a year or something like that for the first 5 years. So moving to the next one, we have the spillway assessment investigation. I am still working with DSOD on the items that they noted through our report that we did with GEI. So far we've actually videoed the underdrain system. The underdrain video turned out very well. We found very little blockages, nothing that was very concerning. We only had a couple of areas that we'll likely have to do some further investigation. But all in all, the system looked really good, and I'm in the process of preparing a report to send the information over to DSOD for their review. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study of the terminal reservoir, we are working with the Division of Safety of Dams to develop a scope of work for the geotech testing. We have been informed by them that they typically do not work with counties or cities and that they only work with consultants. So we've, in a way, we've been directed to hire a consultant to prepare our geotech plan. So we're going to actually wrap it all into one kind of bigger project with the consultant. So we're going to have them do the geotech work, check to see that we're seismically stable. And then if we're not seismically stable, we'll have them do a seismic retrofit set of plans for us as well. This will be a task order contract, so we will only, you know, push out the tasks as needed. So we won't spend all the budget, you know, only as we need to go. So the fault zone risk assessment of the left abutment, we have, there's no change to that one. We're still looking at getting additional quotes for a risk assessment.
Hey Dave, this is yep. Brad. With the Tesla battery storage, sorry to go back up again. Are we charging those batteries with solar, or are we just charging them with kind of off-peak power? Is that the game plan?
Yeah, it would be off-peak power. So we've looked at solar out there at the water treatment facility in a couple different ways, land-based, water-based systems. Yeah. Once again, we ran into an issue with DSOD because they wouldn't let us put some very small anchors in the dam to hold the floating ones.
Right.
That actually was going to be a very good system. We were going to put, I think, like 2 acres of solar panels on the terminal reservoir.
Yeah.
It would have helped with water quality and a bunch of other stuff, but DSOD kind of shot that one down.
They're no fun.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't want to drag it on too far, but I just was trying to remember if what the game plan was for that.
Yeah. So off peak charging. Yep. All right. We're still working on trying to get the safety upgrades finished at the plant. We're still looking into a lifeline system in the membrane building, but consultants have not been very proactive about getting back to us. The cathodic protection repair project, we've pretty much wrapped up the RFP and we're getting ready to put that out to bid. So probably by the next meeting, we might have a consultant on board to start designing the cathodic protection systems. The equipment storage building, I have finally gotten all 3 quotes I needed to select a vendor for the building. So we'll be moving forward with purchasing that building and having it installed. We are actually putting it over the old flock basin on the second portion of the plant that didn't get retrofitted. So it's a big empty space that no one's using at the moment. So we're going to put a nice, you know, 40 by 40 building there that we can park some of the equipment in. So, and then on the CO2 injection system, I know that our CIP division is about 99% of the way there on finishing the RFP for that one as well. And we'll be putting that out to bid shortly. The unbudgeted OMM projects, we had a leak through one of the sludge beds and started to see it daylighting on the hillside next to the spillway at the water treatment plant. So we are currently soliciting bids for doing grouting, high pressure grouting along that side. There's actually a cutoff wall there currently, but we believe it's got some cracks and stuff in it, so it's starting to seep. So we're gonna do some high pressure grouting to hopefully seal it all up. And then the last one on here was the leak at the main dam outlet works. We finally found all the original specs during the seismic retrofit. So we've buttoned up all the plans that we needed, gotten all the specs together, and we'll be hiring a consultant here shortly to repair that leak. Does anybody have any questions on the project updates?
Okay, I guess there are none. Okay, so it looks like there are no action items that require the Board of Supervisors' action. So we'll move on then to item 8, action items. The fiscal year 2021 budget endorsement. Is that where we are?
Yep.
There we go. Okay.
This
so, preparation of, no. Item A. Okay, and that is that a verbal?
That's a good question.
This is Sherry Weiss.
Yep.
I think it is verbal, but we will be asking for your committee's endorsement of the proposed budget. So the budget that was reviewed in January, and I believe all questions regarding that were answered. We have, thought I would mention, we had a suggestion about regarding mentioning the pandemic in our narrative. And the way we will address that would be by making a comment in the narrative section of the proposed special districts budget book. And that's the one that's recommended to the County Board of Supervisors for adoption. And so if there aren't any other comments or questions, then we'll ask for your endorsement of the proposed budget.
Okay, so I guess then you're looking for a motion.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Council, or this is Board Member Barnich. I would approve. I would approve the. Let me get back to my. The 2021-2022 budget. We had a lot of discussion last meeting on this. Asked a lot of questions. So anyway, that's my motion.
Yeah, and so it's actually an endorsement.
You don't endorsement. That's right. Yeah. For the Board of Supervisors.
I'll second that. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I imagine you'd want to make have a roll call vote on this?
Sure thing. So I'll start with Kristen.
Yes.
Karen Bright.
Yes.
Scott Newton is absent. Shirley Gibson.
Yes.
Brad Hageman.
Yes.
Ryan Talley.
Yes.
And Ron Riley.
Yes.
And Kristen, how do I say your last name?
Barnage.
Barnage. Got it. Okay.
She's on mute.
Yeah.
You think I know how to use Zoom by now? Yes, Barnage. The E is silent.
That's why I didn't say your last name. I knew I was going to mess it up.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
Village here. Okay, right. So you have
endorsing it. Absent Scott Newton.
Very good. Okay, so then now we'll move on to item B, the estimated surplus water in water year 2021, and that is attachment 7.
Correct. So it looks like for this last year, we have 1,476 acre feet of surplus water, and we're offering that at $42.25 per acre foot. And as you can see from the table, those were everyone's allotments of the surplus water.
So so then when you break it down in the surplus available column, so everybody gets a little bit of the surplus that comes from the downstream releases. Is that how that goes?
The surplus is unused entitlement. So like with say at the very top with AG City of AG, they their entitlement's 2290, but they only use 2239, so they generated 51 acre feet of surplus water because they didn't use their entitlement.
Yes, so They end up with an available surplus of 746. So part of that must come from, does it come from the downstream release unused entitlement?
So
I don't understand where all of the surplus available comes from.
So that is it's a proportion of their entitlement. So if you look at what their entitlement percentages column,
mm-hmm.
that's where, so the total surplus water was 1476 and AP is entitled to 50% of that.
Right. Plus. So that does include the portion of the downstream release.
You are correct. Unused. Yes.
Okay.
The bulk of it is the 1290 from the downstream releases.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. I just wanted to confirm that. Okay. Very good. That was my only question here.
Yep. I have not had to prepare this table in a long, long time.
Any other questions on this on this item?
I'll walk into the really silly newcomer question, which is, why are we talking about selling surpluses when we don't, when we clearly don't have water?
That's a good question.
So this was brought up at the TAC. They recommended, so Jill is actually coming back to work on Monday, and it's something I need to discuss with her and probably Dan Heimel. It was brought up at the TAC that everyone endorsed not using surplus water if they could store it. So if we can, so they wanted to retroactively store this surplus water once the contract changes take effect. So that was their idea at the TAC. So no one would actually use their surplus water and then take it as storage once we enact the contract changes.
Because that's the whole reason we're doing the contract changes, is so that we can store, so we can have our bank account with the stuff that we've saved, the water we've saved, have it, you know, instead of it going away and us losing it. So
yeah, that is correct. It just, the only difference here would be that it would be like a retroactive storage. So we would actually carry this water into the contract changes once it's enacted, instead of starting fresh right when we, you know, start the contracts, the new contracts.
So David, once we shift to the new, you know, contract model, will there no longer be the annual declaration of surplus water?
I believe that is true. There will no longer be surplus water, and you will then have storage rights to store your unused portion of entitlement.
Okay. And Ron, you know, I guess as the old timer on the committee, first of all, I'm going to tell you, I cannot really explain the technical aspects of surplus water other than to say it's the name is problematic. I mean, it's a very technical, it's basically, I guess, is described as just the unused entitlement, but it sends a real mixed message when we're trying to explain to the county that we are in a drought condition. Oh, and then by the way, we're declaring surplus water. It just seems crazy, but that's just kind of the way it is for right now, I guess.
Thank you for that. I realize looking at the table that we're taking credit for something we did in the past, and we foresee a future where we may be short, but that doesn't mean we don't get paid on you know, the things that we did in the past. So I would have felt silly not asking, and I'm glad to have some clarification. Thank you.
Was there any talk at the TAC to change the name of this to just unused entitlement instead of surplus water? It's two different words. I mean, it's still two words each, so it's not like we're shortening it, because I think the surplus, like everyone stated, it just confuses everybody, and it's not really, I mean, it's not really what it is.
Yeah, and I think it was not brought up at the TAC. However, this table is you know, it's been in place for a little while, and I'm seeing under the surplus generated, it already says unused entitlements in parentheses. So I would imagine that this question might have come up in the past, so there needed a little more clarification. We can definitely change it moving forward. However, as soon as your contract changes take effect, there will no longer be surplus water, and that, you know, that term goes away anyways, because it'll just be unused entitlement that goes into your storage. So.
Yeah, this is Matt Scordato. I work with Lake Atchuma. I'm a Santa Barbara County Water Agency employee. We refer to this, if I understand what we're saying here, we call it carryover.
Yeah.
You know, it's water that was not taken last year, we're just carrying it over this year. We don't apply any EVAP to it during the year. It's there as entitlement, but once it's carried over, we start applying EVAP to that portion of the water in the lake. It makes it a little easier to understand. I don't like the term surplus either.
I had a question. With the contract changes, then the LLRP disappears. Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
Any other questions or comments regarding this item? Okay, hearing none. Then before we move on to item 9, future agenda items, I'm just going to call out for any public comment that there may be.
Karen, isn't this an action item? Don't we need to make the recommendation that
thank you so much.
I'm actually going to make the motion that we declare or recommend to the county the declaration of surplus water consistent with this chart.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Do we want to, I guess we'll take a roll call again here.
Yep, I can do a roll call.
Thank you.
So, Kristen Bornage?
Yes.
Karen Bright?
Yes.
Absent Scott Newton. So, Shirley Gibson?
Yes.
Brad Hageman?
Yes.
Brian Talley?
Yes.
And Ron Riley?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Brian, for that. So, now then, before we go any further here, in the event that we've had public join us, I would like to make time for any public comment regarding any of the items that we've discussed to this point. David, do we have any public that you know of that is has joined this meeting?
I'm not seeing any new members.
Okay, thank you very much. All right then, so we can now go ahead to item 9 for any future agenda items. Hearing none. Any committee member comments? Okay, none of those either. All righty then. So then our next regular meeting is tentatively scheduled for May 20th at 6:30 p.m. And thank you all for being patient with our snafu at the beginning here. And I wish you all a nice evening. And I guess we'll call this meeting adjourned.
Good night, everybody.
Hi, all. Thank you very much. Thanks, David, for your help with all of this.
Yeah, I'll make sure tech support has it lined up better for the next one.
Well, we got through it. Okay, good night, all. Thank you. Night,